The topic of court packing is what we're going to talk about during this particular portion of Vocal Points. Hello, I'm Jerry Newcomb, and our guest is Jeremy Dice, who's Special Counsel for Litigation and Communications at First Liberty Institute. And in fact, recently, Jeremy was actually quoted in an article in Newsweek in reference to this whole idea of court packing. Jeremy, welcome back to the program. It's great to have you back on. Thank you.
Well, thanks so much for having me.
Okay, so for those not familiar, what is court packing? And why don't you also even set the table for us? Do you think the founding fathers ever intended the Supreme Court to be as powerful as it is, or even see a situation where, hey, if certain politicians don't like the decisions of the court, hey, let's just add more numbers to the court until we get the kind of results we want to have as politicians?
Well, the answer to that last question is no, and I'll elaborate on that in a moment, but let's set the stage first. Court packing is a part of a general court reform measure that the Biden administration seems keen on pursuing. In fact, those on the left of President Biden, which there are people on the left of President Biden, have been decrying the issue of the Supreme Court and its seeming packing by the former president, President Trump. And so when President Trump appointed three new justices to the Supreme Court of the United States, I think we all remember how acrimonious those confirmations were and what the left views as what they view that as is actually court packing, that President Trump and Senator McConnell, they engage in some sort of political shenanigan to fill seats with special conservative justices. Well, that's not true, of course. What in reality has happened is that the president and Senator McConnell fulfilled their constitutional duty to nominate and then to confirm justices to the Supreme Court after the passing of several justices and one retirement of another justice. And so it is perfectly understandable why we have those justices on this court. The left just simply doesn't like that. And so they have now demanded that the President Biden, that he do something about all this. And so early on in his presidency, he created the Presidential Commission on the Supreme Court of the United States, which is a group of about 30, 35 different professors, law professors, academics, and lawyers, as well as a couple of retired judges, that are getting together to evaluate a variety of recommendations that they will later make to the President of the United States for broadly the idea of court reform, including the idea of court packing. So court packing is exactly what the name sounds like. You would add new justices to the Supreme Court of the United States. One proposal that's currently before Congress would add, I think it is now 14 members, up to 14, 12 to 14 members of the court. The court stands at 9 right now.
Mm-hmm.
And there's really no limiting principle when that would end with. There are a variety of other options out there as well, including term limitations and removing certain jurisdictional elements that the court could or could not talk about. Those are all up for debate as well, but the real focus has been on adding the justices of the Supreme Court of the United States, something that I don't think our founding fathers would speak very well of at all. And in fact, even in the Federalist Papers, the court rejected that idea because it would remove the judicial independence of the court that is so terribly important in the protection of our civil liberties.
Okay, and the phrase itself, court packing, means just keep adding numbers. And by the way, there is a precedent for the attempt at court packing, right? In the example of FDR, when he wasn't getting his New Deal passed, too many times Supreme Court justices were basically blocking key measures to it.
Yeah, and when President Biden was Senator Biden, he called that a bonehead idea, and it certainly was. And not only did President Roosevelt fail to add members of the court, what actually happened is a report from the Senate Judiciary Committee came out and absolutely blasted President Roosevelt for even thinking of doing so, putting down the idea of court packing in such a way as to say it should never, ever be repeated because it would destroy the independence of our judiciary. And throughout the history of our country, we've really been committed to that idea. That's why we have three separate and equal branches of government. That's why the judiciary is supposed to be the smallest of the branches of our government and theoretically the least impactful, at least until the last couple of decades, has it been the least impactful? Because the legislature is supposed to legislate, the executive is supposed to execute the laws, and only when the laws that are passed and executed confront the Constitution is the Supreme Court supposed to find itself involved in these things. But having that independence, the ability to say this is what the Constitution is and your law agrees or disagrees with it, is essential to the preservation of our civil liberties. In fact, it really is the last line of defense for our civil rights, including religious liberty, and that's exactly as the Founding Fathers wanted it to be, because they understood throughout history that kings and despots have packed their own Supreme Courts with ideologues that would simply rubber stamp their agenda and allow them to run roughshod over the individual liberties of the citizenry. The Founding Fathers put something in place that is brilliant in the annals of history that allows that judicial independence to preserve the freedom that we hold and cherish so dearly.
Now, I understand that some Latin American countries have gone the route of tyranny where they've allowed court packing, and I want you to address that, but I just want to say before you do, it's a fact that we have this, you know, just hundreds of thousands of people from Latin America trying to come to America, but you don't see the progress or the travel going the other way, where there's hundreds of thousands of North Americans trying to leave the United States in order to go and move into those Latin American countries. But tell us about Latin America and court packing.
Latin America has a couple different examples of court packing, and in one example, the Maduro regime came into place and added, I think it ended up being about 35 justices to the Supreme Court of his country and his regime. And in the end, there was
Venezuela.
A study that conducted about 40,000 different opinions by that Supreme Court. Not a single one went against the Hugo Chavez and later the Maduro governments at all. Zero out of 40,000 opinions. They all affirmed the actions of the dictator of that particular country. And so the lesson we derive from the experience of other countries is that when we allow a leader to put ideologues without really any limiting number on their Supreme Court, freedom of the individual dies along with it here. And so that's exactly what would happen in this case, because, and this is interesting that the commission itself is now beginning to push back on this, but what's very interesting is that when you add justices to the Supreme Court of the United States now under the Biden administration, it may placate the Biden administration's detractors right now. But what happens when, for instance, President Trump perhaps gets reelected and he decides he'll add another 5 justices or maybe 15 justices? There's really no limiting principle, and so it would just simply create the Supreme Court to be another political football. That's why I think you have two things that have gone on recently. Number one, Secretary Blinken, the Secretary of State right now under President Biden, pointed to the experience of Central and South America, saying this is a bad idea. Perhaps he didn't talk to his boss before he had that speech. I don't know, but I agree with him that it has been a bad experience for democracies and republics all over the globe, and we should reject it here at home as well. It's also why a very liberal professor at Harvard University who sits on this commission that the president has appointed, his name's Lawrence Tribe, he actually, in the last time the commission met publicly, said, I was thinking that court packing might be a good idea. I was thinking that term limits might be a good idea when I came into this commission. Having now reviewed the materials, I can say unequivocally, I think both are a terrible idea. For someone that far on the left to recognize that it would be destructive to our individual liberties and destroy the judicial independence that is necessary to the preservation of our civil rights, I think speaks volumes as to where we are right now.
Wow, that's great. And I know that your organization, First Liberty, has really been on the vanguard of speaking out against court packing. Your boss, Kelly Shackelford, who, you know, founded your organization, you know, was banging the drum on that for quite a while. It seems to me, though, that one of the issues that the left really has seized upon, it came about through judicial fiat, and that's the issue of abortion. And it's abortion that in some ways prompted some of this discussion about, well, if Coney Barrett's going to, rule against Roe v. Wade and Brett Kavanaugh and all these other supposedly court-packed Trump appointees, then we've got to add more justices to the Supreme Court. Does abortion somehow trump all constitutional considerations?
Well, it certainly seems that way right now, and especially when there are two cases before the Supreme Court right now, it's very clear that it has an effect on the justices themselves. But I think what it reveals also is the failure of the legislature and the executive branch of government to do what they are constitutionally required to do. The reason we have so many judicially created exceptions and laws and rights like the issue of abortion, for instance, so-called rights, is because the legislature has really failed to do the legislating that it is required under the Constitution to do. And that's exactly why the left wants to pack the court or to otherwise reform the court, because they know if they can preserve, they already have the White House, they have the Congress right now and a majority. If they lose those majorities, the only hope is to run those things through a Supreme Court, through a judicial system that would rubber stamp the leftist agenda. That's exactly why we cannot allow that kind of court reform to be engaged in, whether that's through the issue of adding justices to the Supreme Court, which has been tried and rejected multiple times in our history as a country, or through the lesser issues of things like term limitations, which have its own problems, or maybe removing certain jurisdictions from the Supreme Court of the United States, certain issues they can't anymore hear, or perhaps they have to have a certain supermajority of justices in order to invalidate an act of Congress, as one proposal puts it right now. Those kinds of court reform measures are meant to solidify a progressive, very radically liberal agenda to move, not just through Congress, but to be ratified by an ideologically driven left-of-center judiciary. That we cannot allow to happen, because that will be central to the removal of our civil liberties as individuals of a free country.
This is very interesting because, you know, the United States of America was the product as a federal government. The federal government itself was a creation of 13 separate states that came together and said, this is what we want to do. But the states have their own laws, and many of the states have adopted laws related to abortion that, frankly, have at least, you know, allowed some unborn babies to be born. In fact, it used to be, Jeremy, we talked about 1.4 million abortions a year. Now it's about 800 or 900,000. That's still a lot. But a lot of those, the lessening of the number is because of scientific advances and because of state laws. Comment on the states and their role in all this, and would court packing threaten, you know, the ability of people to essentially govern themselves or govern their own state?
Yeah, there is a very delicate balance between our federal system, meaning the federal government, the national-sized government, as well as what one commentator called the 50 laboratories of democracy in our 50 states. Mm-hmm. And that's exactly what it's intended to be, these laboratories of democracy, where they're allowed to have a variety of organisms that are created within them that are slightly different than the national structure. For instance, you have a unicameral legislature in the state of Nebraska, which has just only one house. It doesn't have a bicameral, a house and a Senate in their legislature. That's okay. You're allowed to have that. Some judges in the Supreme Courts in those states are elected. Some are appointed. That's okay. We're allowed to do that. And there are a variety of other ways in which we see this experimentation in democracy taking place to preserve individual liberty. Well, where do they derive that? From our Constitution, in fact, our 10th Amendment, which reserves to the states and then to the people all the rights that are not explicitly given to the federal government by our Constitution. We've gotten away from that a little bit, where we think that the federal government is the end-all, be-all, the grantor of all rights and privileges, which is simply not the case. The Constitution recognizes that those rights are given to us by God, and we've given over a certain level of those rights to the necessary centralization of government, and articulated exactly the powers that they are limited to exercising in the exercise of what we call government. But if we don't articulate those things, the government didn't get those privileges. Those were reserved first to the states to be able to go further into those laboratories of democracy, and then anything left over is, of course, reserved to the people who hold those rights. If we lack that judicial independence, if we remove that judicial independence, if we increase ideologues on that court through court packing or other kind of tinkering with a system that has worked for over 200 years so well and been the envy of the free world, I might add, what we lose in that lack of judicial independence is the civil rights that were reserved to us as the people themselves, especially not just only as individuals but also as a collection of individual states as well. That is critical to the preservation of our freedom.
Jeremy Dice, thanks so much for being with us. FirstLiberty.org for more information, and we'll post to your article that was mentioned in Newsweek. All the best to you, Jeremy. Thank you.
Thank you.